Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
So grateful, gratitude, so grateful for all that God has done. When I think about the Lord and all that He's done for me, my soul, the innermost being of believers, should cry like David's soul, hallelujah. Let me say that again. When I think about what the Lord has done for me, my soul, my inward parts, say hallelujah. You say, what's hallelujah? Hallelujah is the highest praise. When you run out of English and Spanish and Portuguese, you just can say hallelujah and all of heaven stops. Because hallelujah is that universal word in every language. In a Spanish church, it sounds the same as it does in an English church. But more than a church, when you say hallelujah, all of heaven pivots to where that sound comes from. And so from the inward parts, we are grateful, not just from our mouth. Last session, Psalm 34, we dove into. We talked about blessing the Lord at all times. And His praise is continually being our mouth. That's what David said. Being able to show gratitude in every season is the sign of a mature believer. In seasons that are not fun, in seasons that are not filled with light, but they are filled with more darkness, to be able to say, Lord, I still praise You in the midst of the storm. I still praise You in the midst of what I'm going through. That is a mature believer. And I believe on a Wednesday night, if you're in the room or you're tuned in tonight, you're a mature believer. But I also know that we've got some new believers that it's hard to praise God. But nobody said it would be easy. But remember, even when it's not easy, it is possible. And realize that your greatest breakthrough comes at those moments when you could quit, but you push on anyway. When you could stop and sit down, but you can say like David, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. It praises His name. And so that's where David is. But in the 34th Psalm, we talked about the ability to be able to praise God and show gratitude in every season. Your gratitude impacts three people. It impacts God because God inhabits the praise. It impacts you. I don't know how many times that when I praised God, that the words coming out of my mouth didn't go very far, but they took a hard right turn, a 90-degree turn, and came right back into my ears. And they encouraged me because it reminded me that God is not far away, He is close. It reminded me that God is not far away. He's not sleeping, He's not slumbering, but when I praise God, He shows up. So it impacts God, it impacts you, and then it impacts whoever hears it. Your greatest praise, my loudest praise, should not be on a Wednesday night. But it should be every day, all day, so that people that don't know Jesus can find out about Jesus. We should be quick to deflect and reflect. When you get a raise, it's thank you, Jesus. When somebody points out something good that you've done or something good in you, you deflect that and say, oh, that's the Jesus in me. You say, well, no one wants to hear that. Well, there's a lot of things that I don't want to hear that I have to hear. I don't like when people take God's name in vain. And I'm quick to remind them in the business world, when they say Jesus Christ, and it's not the way that I say it, I always say, you better praise that name. Man, they look at me like, man, you said it. You better make sure you're calling Him to where you are. And don't use that as a profane, or don't use it as a negative. Use that to call God's presence in your life. And so when you praise God, it impacts those who hear it. Then we went on through the rest of the 34th Psalm and we found out that your gratitude affects the afflicted. That when you praise God and God shows up, now that He is in your presence and you are in His presence, when you call God into a place other than a church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, now God's presence is there. And God's presence doesn't just show up to show up. God's presence shows up to transform the situations that are presented there. Your gratitude is contagious. You being grateful, your praise will become contagious to those around you. This is how I love praise. Praise gets rid of the doubters. Because the doubters will not stand in praise long enough until they either leave or they start to praise. So praise becomes contagious. Your gratitude builds unity. Your gratitude builds community. Isn't it awesome that just a few moments ago, all of the walks of life that are represented here today, all the generations, all the ages, all the ethnicities that are represented in this room today and watching online, when we started praising God, it wasn't about Democrats or Republicans. It wasn't about white, black, or brown. It was about Jesus. Why? Because we didn't talk about the things that separate us, but we began to praise the thing that brings us together that we can all agree on, that God is good. So praise, gratitude builds unity and community. Your gratitude gives answers, because when God shows up, he is never silent. When God shows up, he starts speaking. Your gratitude brings deliverance. When God shows up and there's people, that's why in the New Testament, you had to be careful inviting Jesus to a funeral, because every time Jesus showed up where someone was dead, he brought them back to life. Don't you know when Peter invited, or when he told Jesus about his mother-in-law being sick, he didn't know Jesus was going to heal her. He might not have talked about it. When Jesus finds out someone's bound, Jesus is going to break chains. That's why I love when you bring your friends and family to Living Way, whether they have a church background or not. Why? Because I know that praise is going to be here, which means that Jesus is going to be here, which means that he will break the chains of those that are bound. Your gratitude frees you from condemnation. It is impossible to thank God for what he's done and still carry the past of what you've done that leads to condemnation. Let me say that again. It is impossible, church, to praise God for what he has done and still carry the things that you have done from your past. Gratitude frees you from the past. Gratitude frees you from condemnation. Now there is no longer condemnation. Conviction draws us in. Conviction causes us to praise deeper. Conviction causes us to have gratitude every day of our lives. And finally, your gratitude makes you rich and gives you a surplus. But moving on, the 103rd Psalm, after 4 weeks, we are finally back here. The theme portion of the scripture that we've read these last few weeks in the 103rd Psalm. Most Bible history and philosophers would agree that this was not written early in David's life. This psalm was not written at the beginning of his anointing, that this psalm was not written on the backside of the mountain in the sheep pasture, that this was not written when he was killing the bear and the lion, but that this psalm was penned by King David in the later years of his life. And when you read the tone of the 103rd Psalm, church, it is one who you can tell that David has lived through some stuff. How many of you can just testify, I've lived through some stuff. I've made it through. I've lived through some nonsense. I've lived through some crazy times. Some of you have been married to crazy people. Some of you had crazy parents. Some of you were hooked up with crazy friends. Some of you had crazy habits. Some of us were just crazy. We've lived through some stuff. And so the tone and tenure of this psalm is one of David with a retrospective look over his life, looking at what God had done in his life. I imagine that in the 103rd Psalm, when he's talking about God, I will praise you with all that I am. I am sure that his mind went to that day that he was watching sheep and the bear came. And he didn't kill the bear with a slingshot, but with his own hands, he tore the bear apart. Sure, he thought about the day that the lion approached and didn't reach for his sling, but he ran down that lion that had the sheep in his mouth and ripped him apart with his hands. I'm sure that when he was writing, God, I praise you for all that you've done. I'm sure he remembers what he felt as he rushed headlong into the valley to fight Goliath. This is a psalm where he is retrospectively looking back at his life, at all God has done for him. Can I just encourage you, church, if you say you don't have anything to praise God for today, There is a list of 100 things that I could give you in a couple minutes. But if you can't think of anything today, just look back over your life. Just look at the things that you fought tooth and nail. Just look at the things that you fought that took others out. Just look at the testimony you have. Just look at the fact that you're still standing. And you might have scars, but scars just mean I was wounded, but I'm living to tell about it, that I did not go down, but I got back up. So David here is looking back at his life retrospectively. He's lived through some stuff, and this whole psalm is thick with praise and gratitude. Isn't it amazing that the older you get in life, the more we tend to be grateful for the things in our life? And I don't want to just generalize young people, younger people. But to me, the younger you are, the more entitled you are. The older you are, the more grateful you are for things you don't have. Let me say that again without flubbing it. The younger you are, the more entitled you are for things that you didn't earn. The older you are more grateful for the things that you didn't earn, but God just gave them to you in your life. So this is not a young David. This is a gray-haired David. This is a scarred-up David. The anointing oil no longer is stinking on his life like when he was a 16-year-old young man. But what he is doing is he's looking back at his life, and he's sitting in the rocking chair saying, God, you are a good God. At any moment of my life, I could have gone down for the last time, but look where I am today. Then he doesn't just talk about the good times. I'm sure in those moments he's thinking about the Bathshebas, thinking about the time that he was a peeping Tom on the rooftop, and that one glance led to adultery. That adultery led to a pregnancy. That pregnancy led to him committing premeditated murder. That's why lust and looking and pornography are a lie from the adversary, because the adversary has been lying to you saying, well, you're not really doing something with someone else. This is just you and it. But all it started with was a glance. So he's looking back and he's saying, God, you restored me. I made it through that. He is looking back at all the good and the bad that God has brought him through. Psalm 103, verse 1. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Genuine gratitude, if you're writing notes, please write this down. Genuine gratitude requires 100% of us. While they were worshiping tonight, there was a line that one of them said, and that's what I like about Jesus. I don't care who said it, don't remember who said it, but they talked about needing Jesus or wanting Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that's the difference between genuine gratitude and false gratitude, is when you realize that he's not just a want, but that you need Jesus. That's when gratitude goes up a level. Now it's not, did I remember to thank God today? Now he's the oxygen that I breathe. I can't go more than a couple hours without thinking, God, thank you for being with me today. In our dream team meeting early before church, one of our leaders came in a couple moments late, and she said, I thank God I just avoided an accident out there on the way to church. And I could tell she was a little physically shaken, but guess what she was doing while she was physically shaken? She was praising the Lord. Why? Because out on those streets tonight, she found out it's not a God that I necessarily want only, it's a God that I need all the time. And so I'm encouraging you, take your focus off of just wanting God and realize, no, I don't just want him. I need him like the oxygen that I breathe. 103rd Psalm, David, an older place in life, says, let all that I am praise the Lord. Genuine gratitude requires 100% of us, not just lip service. How many of you have had more than one kid? Raise your hand. How many of you, your kids, when they were little, they liked to fight? Just raise your hand. Pastor Becky, put your hand down. There's no need to tell fibs like that at church. How many of you ever forced one of your children to apologize to the other child? And there wasn't, I'm talking about, one minuscule of sincerity in that apology. And then we as parents have the nerve to say, no, say it like you mean it. Like we're really changing their heart in that moment. Oh, I'm sorry, you want me to mean it? Okay, well, I'm really sorry. But a lot of us, our gratitude is like, thanks, Jesus. And then worship leaders, come on, church, press in. That's a worship leader, like a parent saying, no, you got to really mean it. Like what they say is going to change your heart. You have to change your heart. You have to say, in spite of my flesh and how I feel, in spite of what I'm going through back at home, in spite of everything that I see, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise him with all that is within me, not just lip service. Not a hand up in the air while my mind is somewhere else. Not clapping hands while I'm thinking about something else, but God, everything that I am. Jesus said this in Matthew 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. If loving God requires all of that, then so does worship. All your heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. Can I challenge you for the next 31 days as we prepare for the greatest year of your life and of Living Way? Can I encourage you, when you step on this campus and you walk through these doors, put everything else to the side. Put all the fighting, all the bickering, all the division, all the gossip, all the things that you left at your job, the way that you walked out of the house, let all of that stay there. And when we come in here with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, I love you that way, God, but I also worship you that way. But more than a Wednesday and a Sunday, but tomorrow, wake up on that Thursday morning and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I do know this. It's not going to rob me of my gratitude. I'm going to walk the streets of my high school. I'm going to walk the streets on the floor at my job, and I'm going to exhibit gratitude in each and every way that I can, not lip service. Genuine gratitude requires all of us. Loving God requires all of us, and so does worship. Isn't it interesting that we want 100% of God to show up when we need him to, but we don't offer 100% of ourselves in our devotion to him? We want all of God and give him 10% of us. Have you ever realized when you complain about tithe, you are literally complaining to a God that gives 100%, 100% of the time, that we've got to whine about giving 10% of one of the least valuable things we have, which is money? So, well, I just, that 10%, I could use that. Oh, God doesn't need that 10%, but God can use that 10% to bless your entire life. But more than tithe blessing you with favor, it shows an attitude of your heart that, God, I don't want to give, but for those of us that give and those of us that tithe, what we're saying is, God, I expect you to be a God of your word, and I expect you to show up. He inhabits 100%. Every time with 100% of himself. So I'm not going to hold back on God. God, if you want it from me, God, you've got it from me. God, if you want more time in prayer, I'm going to pray more. If you want me to serve more at church, I'm going to serve more. If you want me to witness and devote myself to ministry outside of the walls of this church, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to ask for 100% of you and give 18% of me. We make the mistake when we get married and say, you bring 50%, I bring 50%. No, you bring 100, I bring 100. One of my friends blew my mind and said something. He didn't say it to me, he said it online. And for the first 5 minutes, I didn't agree with it. Now it's become a rallying point of my life. Someone asked him publicly online, they said, how do you balance everything, Pastor? And this is what he said, balance is overrated. And I've preached balance for all of my life. That when you hit 18, you've got to learn how to juggle job and juggle school and juggle family and juggle ministry. And he said balance is overrated. And then this is the phrase that changed my whole perception of balance. He said sometimes what you're dealing with needs 100% of you, not 10%. Illustrate that. Here we go. Sometimes my kids need 100% of me, not 50% that I have left over after I give some to my wife. In 20 years of marriage, sometimes my marriage needs 100% of me, not just what's left over after I preached a sermon or come to work from 9 to 5. Sometimes my walk with God, it requires me to put everything else to the side for a moment and say, God, I've gotten off track and I need to focus in on you for the next 12 hours because, God, I'm losing my mind. Sometimes you have to give 100% to something, but when it comes to God and His praise, you've got to give 100% all the time if you expect 100% from God. But if you're good enough living on 3% from God, you do you, boo. But I know 100% of Brandon needs 100% of God, so you don't see me 100% in jail. So you don't see me 100%, come on now. So you don't see 100% of me having a cussing fit. So you don't see 100% of me in a scandal. Why does that not happen? Because I'm saying, God, I need 100% of you to undo what 100% of Brandon wants to do. Is that too real? Is that too raw? Okay, 4 people said it's not. Thank you. What if God talked to us the way we talk to Him? What if the whining that we call prayer, what if God did the same thing? What if God's answer to us was, I really don't want to bless you. Why you got to keep doing that? You keep screwing up. Why would I want to bless you? What if God acted in our presence like we act in His? Say, what does that mean? Oh, there wasn't 100% participation 40 minutes ago. Some of you watched this team. Some of you watched people in the altar or in the aisle. Some of us were too busy spectating, looking at the building, looking at the Christmas tree. And the way the devil works is you look at this Christmas tree, and then you start comparing this Christmas tree to your Christmas tree at the house. And then you're saying, well, why do they put white lights? I grew up with all the multicolored lights. I wish they, and are those real gifts or are those fake gifts? Where do they get all of those boxes? And here you are with your hands uplifted, and you're thinking about Amazon boxes that have been wrapped up. And God is here, and He's saying, who wants more? Who wants more of my anointing, my presence, my spirit? And we're back here just in His presence, thumbs in our pocket, looking around. What if God, what if you came in 100% engaged, and the God of the universe had His thumbs in His pockets? And He was thinking about something else. He was thinking about the nativity scene that they're trying to take away in downtown San Antonio while you're here fighting for your breakthrough and you're snotting at the nose and crying and you're worshiping and you're down here in this altar and God's just chilling. What if God acted in our presence like some of us act in His? What if God matched our enthusiasm? What if God came in looking like He'd been sucking on lemons all day? What if God walked in like He's had a hellacious day at work, being mean to all the ushers coming in and greeters? They're wanting to high-five you, and you're looking at them, and you're shooting darts, and the greeters are saying, man, I'm glad they're at church. They need Jesus. Holy smokes. What if God, I want to give God 100% because that's what He gives every single time. Psalm 103, verse 1, continue, I will praise His holy name. Let us make sure, church, that we direct our gratitude in the right direction, which is Jesus. This is why I love songs that say the name of Jesus repeatedly. When Jaden and this team sings Tremble, or Olivia sings it next door at Young Adults, and they start singing Jesus over and over, I love it because now lyrics aren't important. I'm saying the name of Jesus. I am worshiping and bringing praise and all of my focus. They sing songs like Faith and Wonder, which is over and over, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I'm sure other people have thought, are there any other lyrics to this song? That's the only lyric we need. Whether you put it on a Hammond B3 behind it or a guitar behind it, if you're saying the name of Jesus, you are the right kind of people for me to praise with. Praise God. Verse 2, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He's done for me. We see that phrase that David uses again. Let all that I am praise the Lord. In the pattern of Hebrew poetry, David uses repetition for emphasis. David illustrates that our praise and honor to God should be given, listen to this, because this is not spiritual, this is a revelation of the practical. David illustrates that our praise and honor to God should be given for rational reasons, not based on emotion or excitement. I knew it'd get quiet right there because we're an emotional church. But we get emotional for rational things that he has done in our lives. I remember somebody posted this week. They said, we've gotten used to praising mediocrity. And that's true. We've gotten really good at telling everybody they're awesome. Everybody's not awesome. Some people are not awesome at life, but some of them are not awesome basketball players. And you're doing your kid a disservice if you tell them they are and they're not. Because then they blame their coach when they never get playing time. But you keep telling little Johnny, you're awesome. I don't know why the coach said, little Johnny can barely chew gum and walk at the same time. He is awesome at something else, but basketball and football is not it. David emphasizes that our praise to God, there is a rational reason we praise God like we do. It's not just crazy enthusiasm and excitement for nothing. That's why he says, may I never forget the good things that you've done for me. That's the rational reasons. The only way that we ever forget what God has done is to quit talking about it. So the only way to never forget what God has done is to talk about it daily, all day, every day. When you get somebody cornered, start talking about the goodness of the Lord. And you shouldn't even have to do it purposefully. You should do it just in conversation because you're so wrapped up. Nobody has to tell me to brag on my wife. Why? She's my wife. I love her. I'm impressed by her. So I will talk about her to people that have never met her before. I want to encourage you, let at any moment of your life, let gratitude turn it loose. Praise God. Then he begins to list the list. I got to go through this quick. He forgives all of my sins. He forgives all of my sins. I think I made this point last week, but I'm going to make it again. You realize if he forgave 99.99999% of your sins, that would not be enough to get you into heaven. So the fact that he throws that word all makes me want to take a lap around this church. But if I took a lap around this church, we would have to extend it 30 minutes so I could catch my wind to finish my point. All of my sins, he forgave me. He forgave the ones that I did on accident. He forgave the ones that I did on purpose. He forgave the ones that I continually did over and over and over when I was stuck in that cycle. He forgave those. He forgave the ones that I made before I ever knew him, and he's still forgiving me today when I mess up like David. If he never does anything else, I will praise him. I will give him gratitude for forgiving all.